Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. A series of sexual harassment claims have continued to engulf the Palace of Westminster, with the scandal already claiming Defence Secretary Michael Fallon as its first scalp, Amber Rudd took to Andrew Marr's sofa to try to restore order. In particular, the Home Secretary found herself responding to allegations levelled at the Prime Minister's deputy, Damian Green. The allegations, which Green denies, concern inappropriate behaviour towards the journalist Kate Maltby and the discovery of pornography by the police on his workplace computer.
So let's look at the Damian Green tittle-tattle, if you like, this morning in the papers today. Here we have a former very senior policeman alleging something about effectively the Deputy Prime Minister. Is this a proper way for the police to behave?
I think that is a very reasonable question. I know that the Cabinet Office is going to be looking at this tomorrow, along with the wider inquiry about Damian. And I do think that we shouldn't rush to allege anything until that inquiry has taken place.
What about the way that he has treated the woman, Kate Maltby, who made some allegations against him? The lawyers have been called in. It seems a very, very heavy and slightly scary response. If you're another young woman who feels that they have been mistreated, that kind of thing will put you off telling anybody.
OK, I do think that men and women who have been subject to any sort of abuse of power should have the confidence to come forward. But I also think that people who think that they have been wrongly accused should absolutely be able to come out and say this is not true. And Damian has made some very strong statements on that side.
He certainly has. Just let's talk about the politics of all of this, because he's an absolutely crucial figure in Theresa May's cabinet now. She's lost Michael Fallon already. Are you quite close now to a complete collapse? I mean, if he goes, then that seems to a lot of people as if the whole centre of government has just imploded.
Absolutely not. I think it is something that will take place in terms of clearing out Westminster of that sort of behaviour. And I think that Westminster afterwards, including the government, will be better for it. When we are confident that men and women can work in a respectful environment and people who have been on the receiving end of abuse of power can come forward, that will be a positive thing.
Separate from the so-called Pestminster scandal, Rudd also told Marr about what steps the government planned to take to crack down on the sexual exploitation of children.
You've got an announcement today about child pornography in particular. This is about the treatment of much younger women than the ones we're talking about.
Yes, this is exactly the sort of thing that other departments are getting on with. I'm going to Washington this week to make sure that we step up our fight against child sexual exploitation. We've seen the real growth of child sexual exploitation internationally, and we're going to make sure that we work with the Americans to take action against it. There's much more that the internet companies can do. They already do quite a lot, but the growth has been exponential, and we need to make sure that they put their technological know-how into addressing it, and particularly with working with smaller platforms where children go to game online, to meet each other. There are paedophiles working there. We need to make sure the internet companies work with us in partnership to change this.
Labour's Shadow Women and Equalities Secretary Dawn Butler also found herself having to defend her party over how it has dealt with sexual harassment. The Luton MP Kelvin Hopkins, who denies all wrongdoing, has been suspended for allegedly harassing a Labour activist several decades his junior. Marr asked Butler about when the complaint was initially raised back in 2015.
Dame Rosie Winterton, your then chief whip, was absolutely clear that she was horrified by the appointment of Kelvin Hopkins into the shadow cabinet. She ran the leader's office and told them what the allegations were, and she said it's not too late to change this appointment, but the appointment was maintained. And that has caused a lot of hurt and upset to ordinary Labour Party members.
So, Andrew, I don't know what Rosie Winterton
has said in that regard.
But my understanding is that when the chief whip was informed of an issue against a member, it was dealt with, and it was dealt with by both sides were happy with the outcome. Now, if that's the case, the process is that if there is an issue and that issue's dealt with and both sides are happy, then that's the end of the matter.
Do you know whether or not Jeremy Corbyn was told?
As I said, I don't want to talk about individual cases, but what I want to talk about is the process. So if the leader of the Labour Party was told that there was an issue against a member and that issue has now been resolved to the agreement of both sides, then it's not something. What we don't have in Parliament, if you were to say to if you were to say to me, is there an issue of sanctions? That's a different issue. So if somebody's been given a verbal abolishment and then there's a sanction to say you cannot be promoted for 6 months or 12 months, that's a different issue. We haven't got that in Parliament, and maybe the meeting tomorrow with the Prime Minister, we can talk about sanctions and whether if there's a case against an MP that they're suspended in a first instance, or there's an investigation and then they're suspended. And that needs to be due process and it needs to be transparent and clear.
Conservative backbencher Anna Soubry has expressed her disdain for the media coverage of the scandal. In particular, she lamented the way in which the journalist Jane Merrick's complaint against Michael Fallon had been treated.
What we're having with, in relation to Damien, who I said should have been suspended so there was a proper inquiry, this would have formed part of that inquiry, and instead we are pretty much having trial by the newspapers, and this is not acceptable. These are very serious allegations in relation to other people, and it is all being blurred and conflated, and this is a disgraceful way for us to conduct our politics and very serious allegations. And further evidence of that is the way that Jane Merrick, who has been outstandingly brave, found herself in a position whereby something had happened to her some time ago. Where did she go in order to make her complaint? As we now know, she went to Harriet Harman and then to me, and then we both absolutely promised to keep her identity confidential, and we stuck to that. And then I contacted Number 10, and as a result of that, Jane contacted Number 10. I know the courage this woman has had.
This is why Mr. Fallon resigned.
So, yes.
Yeah.
And to be very clear about this, we cannot have today this going on any longer. People must have today a system where they don't have to go to the press in order to make their complaint, or happen to find some MP's telephone number that they know will take these matters seriously. This is all about protecting other men and notably women. And there is nothing at the moment. I think our Prime Minister must lead on this, and she must give an assurance that, you know, people must be able now to make their complaints so that we stop the sort of behaviour that Jane and others have had to endure for years.
Pestminster hasn't completely eclipsed Brexit from the agenda. Robert Peston interviewed the Governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, about the outlook for the UK's economy. Carney acknowledged that the economy was defying the bank's gloomier predictions, but was still reluctant to display much in the way of optimism.
Since the referendum, what we have seen is that business investment has picked up, but it hasn't picked up to any of the extent that one would have expected, given how strong the world is, how easy financial conditions are, how high profitability is, and how little capacity they have, spare capacity they have. So it should really be booming, and it's just growing. Now, I think we know the reason why that is the case. It's because they're waiting to see the nature of the deal with the European Union. It's the most important investment destination, and they need to know transition and end state. Everybody knows this. The government knows it. It's working on it. The Europeans know it. UK businesses know it. So they're investing. But for the next period of time...
Because I need to pin you down on this, you would say that the biggest contributor to this slowdown at the rate at which we can grow, we can become richer, is the uncertainty caused by the Brexit vote?
I would say what we're saying is that the Brexit uncertainty is reinforcing something that started in 2008. And so we actually think productivity is going to pick up over the course of the next couple of
years. Although not very much, according to the forecast.
But not to the same degree as in the past.
And finally, the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry, will not be the last politician to refuse to be drawn when asked to comment on Westminster's sexual harassment quagmire. However, on this occasion, Thornberry had a somewhat bolder solution of how not to answer Neil Paterson's questions.
The problem is that Jeremy Corbyn cannot say that he cannot complain, I knew nothing of this behaviour. Okay, Simon Dancher was suspended from the party back in 2015, December 2015, at exactly the same time that the party knew about the allegations about Mr. Hopkins. Now, similar cases, entirely dissimilar treatment. One of them suspended, who happened to be a critic of Mr. Corbyn. Another of them promoted to the front bench, who just happens to be a key ally.
Now, you can draw whatever conclusions you want at this stage, but I am not in a position to be able to comment on these matters in detail because they are under investigation. I'm sorry, but that's what you're getting. So, I mean, I'm happy to go, but I'm here to try and give you such assistance as I'm able to, but I am not going to talk about internal discussions at the moment. Where there is an investigation going on, it is not for me, and I appreciate I may be being a bit loyally about this, but whilst an investigation is going on, we let that investigation take its course, and not to get involved in commentary on it or, you know, additional information or anything else.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And you can get a great deal on the magazine with the first 12 issues for just £12, plus a limited edition Spectator moleskin notebook. Just visit spectator.co.uk/pod offer. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.